Blog Talk Radio.
I gotta have you, I gotta have you, I gotta have you, I gotta have you, oh Lord, I gotta have you. I gotta have you, I gotta have you, I gotta have you, I gotta have you, oh Lord, yeah, gotta have you, yeah. You make me as happy as I can be, your love is a guarantee.
Listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. And this is the summit. We are waiting on our host, Brother Minister Adam Tuggle. But in the meantime and in between time, I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and I will be standing in his stead. I have a question for you. How many of us who are professing believers today, who are standing in pulpits, singing on the worship team, or sitting out in the pews, lug around a host of unconfessed sin? Week after week, they assemble together to exalt God, but they are weighed down. Their spiritual backpacks are crammed with all sorts of idols and other hidden sin, like pride, rebellion, unbelief, bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, laziness, lying, greed, envy, gluttony, gossip, lust, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, pornography, masturbation, drunkenness, or substance abuse. How many of us professing Christians still walk around weighed down? The word of God declares and decrees in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, any of these works of the flesh can rob a soul of his inheritance in God's kingdom. So if these things, these sin that weigh us down, can rob us of our inheritance in God's kingdom, why aren't we as Christians who are professing the name of Christ not confessing our sin and turning away from them? There's another group amongst us that simply justifies themselves and they minimize their sin. They insist that they are not as bad as their neighbor. When they come under conviction, they are quick to say to themselves, I don't get drunk. I don't do drugs. I'm not out sleeping around. I'm a good person. I love God, and he understands that no one is perfect. Now, just like the Pharisees of Jesus' day, outwardly, they are close to being squeaky clean. But the truth of the matter is that they are still very much given over to their sinful attitudes and their sinful ways that lurk in their hearts and in the secret place where only God sees. Now, because of their heavy load, hallelujah, their spiritual growth is retarded. In essence, it's stunted, and their hunger and passion for God is practically on empty. Now, as long as the bar is raised no higher than their present level of mediocrity, they won't ever achieve the spiritual momentum they need to soar like eagles, as we are told to do in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Nor will they ever be able to produce any substantial fruit for God's kingdom or experience the peace and the abundant life in Jesus that God has for them. Now, there's a third group of desperate souls who are weighed down by sin, and they are those who hide behind the mask of hypocrisy. Like King David after his adulterous affair and murderous plot in Psalms 32, verse 3 through 4, they are under heavy conviction but are unwilling to bring their souls right in right alignment with God and bring their sin to the light. Leave this to say, they are a most miserable group of people. Now, while God's hand presses down upon them, somehow they manage to erect thick self-protective walls to keep others from knowing who they really are. To further avoid exposure, they strive to keep up that good Christian image outwardly while carrying around all their hidden sin within. And they are so loaded down, they aren't even able to run the race of faith that they were called to run. Now, despite their differences, each of these three groups described above are stuck spiritually under the weight of their unconfessed sin. He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. That's what Jesus the Logos declares in Proverbs 28, verse 13. Now, in each case, there is only one way of escape, and that's repentance. Sinners can bring their heavy burdens to the one who bore their sins on the old rugged cross, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, who took upon himself the sin of the whole world. Imagine the tremendous weight he joyfully bore for wretched souls like us so that sin would no longer have dominion over us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for Romans 6 and 14. Now, true repentance involves more than admitting one's guilt. It involves brokenness and godly sorrow leading to a willful turning away from sin to obey and please the Lord. Because of the finished work of Christ at Calvary, every weight can be lifted off of a repentant sinner once such a genuine confession before God has been made. The Word of God declares in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 10, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, We make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, to avoid becoming weighed down by sin, our daily prayer should be, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Secondly, spending time in the Word of God each day will help us to overcome our sin. Studying and meditating on the truth will make us available to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and keep us in the light, as recorded in Psalm 119, verse 105. It will also direct us to lay aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, and in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save our very souls. And it will also help us be doers of the word rather than mere hearers only. We who only hear the word, but we do not do the word, are truly spiritually delusional. Lastly, whenever the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin, either through the word, through a sermon, or directly through a person, we must be quick to repent. That is, we agree with God that the sin he exposed in our heart is indeed sin. And then we immediately turn away from it back to our Lord and Savior Jesus. No Christian need to go one day longer bearing the guilt and shame of unconfessed sin. You need to only bring that sin out to the light, nail it on the cross, and get back on the straight and narrow. And you will soon discover the joyous liberty that Christ purchased on Calvary. And you too will be able to mount up with the wings of eagles. Now, why am I talking about being weighed down? Well, it's quite simple. With the pandemic and so many things going on in our world today, it is easy for us to go to that place, to revert back to our what is comfortable, what is natural to us. But right now, what we as called out Christians need to be doing is getting our own lives in order. Instead of pointing the blame finger at everyone around us, it's the government's fault, it's the teacher's fault, it's the politician's fault, it's everybody's fault. Let's look at ourselves and see what is in us that we can cast up on the Lord and lighten our load. Sin causes us to be anxious and to worry. But when our desires line up with the desires that God has for us, we will find that those worries and that anxiety will diminish. We are walking around in a fog because we are secretly coveting what other people have. We are secretly sinning in ways we're drinking and we're turning to drugs and we are doing things that we as Christians don't normally do. We've taken up watching television programs that we don't normally watch, and we're blaming it all on the pandemic. Well, I came to submit to you this afternoon that the pandemic is not COVID-19, but the pandemic is our sin. And many of us have unconfessed sin that we are walking around with that is just weighing us down. Recently, we have not been able to, since we have all had to shelter in place, we're not going to the church house. So we don't have to put on that mask of hypocrisy every Sunday. But all in all, many do, and they walk into the pulpit, they walk into the choir, they stand at the door, they sit in the chairs up front, but yet they are still being, they still allow themselves to be given over to their sin. Sin causes us to not only worry and be anxious, but it also causes us just grief in general, strife in general. To be out of the will of God is a dangerous place to be, especially when we know the word. So, yes, we want to save the lost. We want to reach the masses for Christ Jesus. But right now, what the people of God need to be doing, those who are called by his name, we need to be truly humbling ourselves. We need to be confessing our own sin. We need to be getting our own lives straight. And we need to demonstrate the love, the life, and the light of Jesus in all that we do. Because right now, more than ever, God needs for all of his children to stand up and speak out about him. We need to be pointing others to God and his glory. We need to let them know that there is a way of escape from sin, from the darkness, from the void that has been filling their life, and that is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to understand that if we don't stand up, if we are seen weighed down, hunched over from our sin, then how are we going to convict and reach the lost for Jesus if we act like we don't believe him ourselves? See, it is easy for us as Christians to read the word of God, to memorize the word of God, and even recite the word of God. But what's more important is that we believe the word of God. We believe that we will truly lose our inheritance in the kingdom of God if we do not turn away from our sin. We don't want to be weighed down by the problems of this world and the problems that our sin will bring us. Because I'm here to tell you, sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll make you stay longer than you want to stay. And it'll cost you more than you'll want to pay. Sin is not our friend, but it likes hanging on. They like hanging around, just hanging off of us, hanging out with us. And if we were to give them the least little bit of attention, if we were to give them the least little bit of thought, they are ready to pounce and take over our minds, our bodies, and our spirits. You see, Satan is out to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus has come to give us life and give us life more abundant. Therefore, we need to know and understand that if we want to walk in that abundant life, then we need to confess our sin. We need to not be like any of these three groups of people. We can't justify our sin. We can't hide our sin. And we simply can't act like we just don't sin, because we do. The word of God says that all have sinned, and then we all fall short of the glory of God. So, yes, there are no perfect people down here. Nobody has arrived. We have all sinned. But we have to be real with ourselves. We have to know our areas of weakness. So then we can go to the Lord and we can pray about those areas. We can ask God to strengthen us in those areas. We can yield to the Holy Spirit and let him truly cleanse us of that unrighteousness. And then we need to leave it there. We can't continue to go to the Lord and just all say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. But we never, ever ask him for forgiveness for that gossiping that we did, or for that lie that we told, or for that those pins that we took from work. You know, we just want to act like, oh, those are so little. Those sins are so small. God won't care. God cares about all sin. He doesn't like any of it. And when we remain in our sin, our lives will be in turmoil. We will be topsy-turvy. We won't be able to find peace. We won't have any joy. Because deep down inside, I know that every Christian knows when they are out of the will of God. Especially if they are up, especially if they are worshiping idols, or they're prideful. Everything has to revolve around them. Or they just think they know better than God. They're just straight up rebellious. Some of us, we do well until it gets to the areas of unforgiveness. A lot of us are walking around weighed down because we are holding grudges against people, and some of them have even died and went on wherever they went. And we're still holding grudges against them. We still refuse to forgive them. Well, the Word of God says if we don't forgive others, then we won't be forgiven. So again, we're weighed down because now we've got unforgiveness. And we're walking around in our own guilt and our own shame. We're not studying our Word of God like we should. And the longer that you stay away from the Word of God, the longer that you stay away from fellowship with God, the easier it is to do so. Have you ever been to church when you were going to church real regularly, and then all of a sudden you missed the Sunday? And then the following Sunday, it was just as easy to miss another Sunday? Well, saints of God, I'm here to tell you, you can free yourself and free your mind by simply unburdening yourself. Cast your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you. Unleash that sin that's within. Let it go. Let it fly away so that you won't remain weighed down. Hallelujah. And now, my brothers and sisters, Minister Tuggle is in the building. So for the next 60 minutes, you will now hear from the voice of the summit, Minister Adam Tuggle. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Welcome to the summit. Thank you, Bishop Cook. We thank God for Bishop Cook standing in our stead while we were getting here, in Jesus' name. And actually, I have not talked to Bishop Cook about the topic on today, but Bishop Cook, you were sort of diving into the topic today. And you didn't know it. It talks about, and this is what we're going to talk about today. We're talking about don't lose your place. Don't lose your place. And the reason why the title of this topic is this today is because there are a lot of people dealing with a lot of stuff, and they want to they're getting nonchalant about their walk with Christ. And I heard Bishop Cook when I was coming in. She said you find yourself missing a Sunday. Well, we can't be lax in our walk with Christ. We go and we have other things that we have to do, and the Lord understands that. But do not lose your place in Him. I heard a minister one time, and now he's an elder now, but he said one time, sometimes in the body of Christ, that some people are fired in the body of Christ and don't even know it. He's still alive, and what I mean by that is, and what he meant by that was, the Lord still allows you to work for Him. But yes, you start losing the anointing that God is giving you. Sometimes God will allow you to work, and you don't even know that you fired. You done lost your zeal. You done lost your praise. You done lost your worship. But, and you might say, well, no, No, Minister Tugler, I haven't lost my praise. I haven't lost my worship. I still praise him. I still shout. Well, guess what? The devil shouts. The devil can dance around a church. That does not mean. Now, what I mean by that is that a person can have a natural praise for the Lord and still lose their zeal. How do we know? Because the Bible says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord, praise you the Lord. That means sinners can praise the Lord, but they don't have a zeal. They can still praise him. But now is not the time to lose your place. So what place are you talking about? You keep saying don't lose your place. Don't lose your place in heaven. Don't lose your place with the ministry that God has given you. Don't lose your place of your anointing that God has given you. Yes, these are times now that we can't be in the building. But we have to understand that one day, should the Lord tarry, if he doesn't come before this pandemic is over, should the Lord tarry, we'll be back there. Amen. We'll be back amongst the saints and amongst the brethren and amongst our sisters and our brothers. But we cannot lose that train of thought of knowing that God is still able to do exceedingly and abundantly. We can't lose that. Because we're in a time now where we're in a place right now that we're doing church online and on Facebook and everything, and I, me personally, I like it, but I want to be amongst the brethren. I want to be amongst my sisters and my brothers. I want to hear the testimonies. I want to be able to be in the presence of the Lord. And I said this during one show. It's good to be in the house because what you need is in the house. And some people say, well, it's okay for me to miss a few Sundays because, you know, the Lord understands, the Lord knows my heart, and the Lord knows who I am. The Lord knows my heart, and the Lord knows I can't make it to church every Sunday. Well, guess what? You can make it to work every Sunday. You can make it to work every day. You can make it to work. If you can make it to work, you can make it to church. I heard somebody say one time, and it was a saint, and they had been saved longer than me. And they said, well, I need a break. And I'm like, okay. And I was younger then, so I didn't, say anything to them. But they said that they needed a break. And I, as I got older and I thought about what they had said, you know, I said to myself, God didn't take a break with us. Because if he did, we wouldn't be here. If he did, we wouldn't be saved. If he did, we wouldn't have salvation. If he would have took a break on the cross, he didn't take a break for you to have salvation. But we want to be laxed in him. We want to be laxed in our prayer life. We want to be laxed in our fasting life. We want to be laxed in reading of his word. We want to be laxed of going to church. And some of us are going to church, but not in the church. Oh, what you mean? What you mean I'm at church, but you, I'm not in the church? You can't say that I'm not in the church. Oh, yes. Yes. Because there are some people that go to church, and they're not in the church. They're in the church physically, but they're not in the church spiritually. They're not in the church mentally. Their body is there, but their brain is somewhere else. Well, when I get out of church, I'm going to go home and and watch me some football. I'm going to go home and, oh, man, I can't wait until this service is over so I can pass the preaching too long. Uh-huh. The devil is a liar. Let me tell you something. Things of this world is not going to get you into heaven. Amen. The things of this world, yes, we have to occupy until he comes. The Bible says we have to occupy. And yes, you might say, well, I got to go to work. And I'm not debating on going to work, because going to work is right. Because the Bible says a man that don't work don't eat. But when you start putting stuff like that before God, then it becomes a problem. Let me give you an example. When it comes to my children, the only thing I put before my children is God himself and my wife. And the reason why I say my wife, because my wife, when these kids get older and move out, it's just going to be me and my wife. Amen. Can't let nothing separate you. The Bible says we can't let nothing separate us from the love of God. What shall separate us from the love of God? Shall principalities? Shall anything? Shall height, death? Nothing shall be able to separate us. Should nothing be able to separate you from what you are doing for the Lord? And look, some people take ministry for granted. Some people take ministry for granted. You might say, well, what are you talking about taking ministry for granted? You doing ministry because you want to because you want the fame and the fortune and the glitz and the glamour. Ministry, there is no glamour in ministry. Let me tell you that now. Ministry is a 24-hour-a-day job. It ain't just preaching from no pulpit. Ministry is a 24-hour-a-day job. You must minister every day of your life. That's what ministry is.
Yes.
Ministry is not just quoting scriptures from the Bible in a pulpit, and you got a microphone in your hand, and you over there have hacking, and oh, my God. No, that ain't ministry. But ministry is when somebody's in need, you're ministering to their needs.
Yes.
That's ministry. That's
hallelujah.
That's ministry. Ministry is going beyond the four walls of the church and feeding the hungry. That's ministry. Ministry, and the biggest part about ministry is this. When you can live your life for the Lord and everybody knows that you're living for the Lord, because you can speak in tongues all you want to. You can do the biggest dance you ever want to. You can dance better than anybody. But let me tell you something. If you ain't living nothing, your living is in vain. Your giving is in vain. Your ministry is in vain. Your preaching is in vain. If people see you and they say, well, yeah, he preaches good, he sounds good, or she sounds good, but yet I saw her over there pulling tickets. If you're doing, look, we cannot be like the world. It says it in the book of Romans. To be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You have to be transformed. And look, let me show y'all something, because I'm about to hit it where it hurts. The people that have grown up in the church, see, I'm one of them. I'm hitting my own self. That's ministry too. When the word hits you first, and you able to eat the spinach, as my former pastor used to say, eat the spinach. Eat some things you don't like. Eat the potatoes of the word of God. We got some people that have been saved for years that they're still on the sincere milk of the word of God. And they they speaking in tongues. They doing they coming on the Hyundais and leaving in the Mitsubishi all they want to, but it ain't nothing.
Well,
they speaking in Disney. They speak, and when I say speaking in Disney, because I went to a service one day with my first lady, and shout out to Pastor William and First Lady Cosette Tugger. I went to a service with my first lady, and we were sitting next to somebody, and I was sitting next to the person that was doing this, and I could feel the person's spirit that they were speaking in false tongues. They were speaking in false tongues. They called themselves speaking in tongues, and they weren't really doing what it wasn't the spirit, it was them. And so I leaned over there to my first lady, and I tapped on her wrist, and I said, "Mama," I said, "Mama, we got a problem." And she said, "What's wrong?" I said, "This person over here, I need to move, like, cause they playing with the Lord." And my first lady asked me, "Well, what's going on?" I said, "They over here speaking in Disney, because they were over here saying Mulan. And Mulan is a Disney character. That's all I heard come out their mouth." I said, "She over here speaking Disney. She over here naming all Disney characters trying to speak in tongues." No. But when you have the genuine Holy Ghost, rest rooted on the inviting on the inside of you, the Holy Ghost will lead you, direct you, and lead you where you need to be. In him, we got some people that are brats in the Lord. And I ain't even going to say in the Lord. You're brats in your own self. You are spiritually, people, we got spiritual brats, crybabies. Don't want to take nothing. Don't want to do nothing. They want the luxuries of having, of going to church, but they don't want to have the work. They want the luxury of being a minister or being called an elder or being called a bishop or being called a pastor or being called a whatever, and you don't want to work. But today, see, don't lose your place. Don't lose your place. I came today. See, I was praying on the way here, and I got something to say to the enemy today. I'm going to kill me a devil today. The devil out the devil today. And that's a lot of beating when you beat the devil out the devil. But we're going to beat the devil today, because these things are not talked about in the church anymore. We got people giving prosperity messages all the time. You're going to get this. You're going to get that. You're going to get this. What about me not losing my place in him? When are we going to prophesy about people having a better prayer life, a better fasting life, a better worship life, a better reading of the word of God life? When are we going to prophesy that type of stuff? But we always prophesying cars, clothes, and materialistic stuff. The devil is a liar. The Lord did not say everything. The Lord didn't say all that. Most prophets that I've heard. I had somebody prophesy over me one time, and it was a prophecy of healing, and it was true. It came to pass. But that's something totally different when you got somebody prophesying that you're going to get a car, you're going to get some clothes, and every time they prophesying over somebody, it's always something materialistic. You better watch that. Look, I'm here to tell you, I'm encouraging everybody that's listening today. And this is a warning from the Holy Ghost. Don't let everybody prophesy over you. Because everybody that's calling themselves a prophet, ain't prophesying. They prophesying. That's what they're doing.
You better say that.
Everybody prophesy over you. I'm going to tell you about the words of my former pastor. You got, if you got the Holy Ghost, you can prophesy over yourself. You can prophesy over yourself. Ain't no reason for you to be going to, and don't be bouncing to everybody's church when we get back in church either. Church hoppers, don't lose your place just because you're mad at the pastor. You're going to go over here. The devil is a liar. You better stay in your place. Stay in your place. We need to stay in our place. I'm going to add myself in there so ain't nobody going to get mad at me. Well, you're not talking about yourself. Yes, I am. I'm talking about me too. See, I ain't afraid. I ain't afraid. Don't let everybody, look, know them that labor among you, the Bible says. Don't let everybody prophesy over you. Don't let everybody lay hands on you either, praying for you. I don't let everybody pray for me. Just because you say you minister this and you pastor this and you evangelist this, I don't care what you are. Everybody ain't laying hands on me. Why don't I let certain people lay hands on? Because that's the transfer of spirit. If they have a messed up spirit and they laying hands on you, that spirit gonna drop. That spirit gonna jump on you. I'm gonna go deeper than that. I don't let people lay hands on my children. I don't let everybody pray for my children and my wife. I'm gonna go deeper than that. I know them that labor among you. I know them. I know my pastor, First Lady. I know the ministers of my church. I don't know. Look, no offense. No offense. No offense to nobody. I'm being led by the Holy Ghost. People love TV ministers. I understand that. But look, T.D. Jakes is not my pastor. And if you sitting at home watching T.D. Jakes all the time, or whoever else, Creflo Dollar, and they're all the rest of them, all the time, don't you know you getting fed by different people? That food for them may not be for you, but you eating at everybody's spiritual table. And guess what? When you eat at everybody's spiritual table, you're going to become spiritually sick. And you're going to upchuck that stuff. It's going to take the Lord for you to upchuck that stuff up. Because with your pastor's preaching may not be with T.D. Jakes' preaching. May not be with Creflo Dollar's preaching. May not be. Now, me personally, I don't listen to them. Reason being, and this is my own personal opinion, I'm not telling nobody not to watch them. I'm not telling nobody that you should, that you shouldn't. I don't, because I protect me. I don't know. That's what I do, what the Bible tells me to do. Know them that labor among you. That's not just in your church. If you know somebody that's in the Word, and you know, I have a bishop right now named Bishop William L. Harris Sr. at another church that my church fellowship with. When my pastor and my first lady go on vacation or something like that, I'll either go over there. If we're not having service at our church, I'll either go over there because I know my pastor's okay with it. And I'm and my spirit is okay with it. And look, you going from church, don't lose your place. This is all in that. Don't be bouncing from church to church. Hear me. I don't care if they're having a concert. I don't care if they're ministering. I don't care whoever. I don't care if it's a young people service. I don't care if it's a motivational speaker, whatever. Don't go to everybody's church. Please, because everybody's church ain't got the same spirit. You're going to go, and especially if you ain't asked your pastor. There was only one time my current pastor and first lady, I know what churches I can go to and they're okay with it. I've learned my pastor. My former pastor, I learned her. I was up underneath her for 20 plus years. But I never, when I went to her about going to another person's church, she would always tell me, "You're okay. You're okay to go," because she trusted me. She knew I was able to handle myself. I was able to handle myself. So what I did was, there was only one place she told me not to go to, and it was one of my family members' church. And I didn't go either. I didn't go. She told me not to go, and I didn't go. Well, that's your family member. I don't think your family member would send you somewhere. If my pastor tells me not to go, I'm not going. And I'm going to tell you why. Because your pastor can see further than you. That's why God gave them the ability to be the under-shepherd, to be the watchman on the wall for your soul. Amen. But we have to understand that we have to stay in our place. We can't lose our place in Him. We can't lose it. The place that God has us in, we can't expect to be moved up into new levels if we're not even doing the work that God has called us to do in the place that we're at. Because if we're not doing the work that God has placed for us to do where we're at, how do you expect to move higher in Him? You can't do it. You won't be able to do it because God's not going to send you someplace that He has not equipped you. You have to, it's just like going through a test, passing a test. You have to pass the test first to move to another test. I love the work of God. I love the work of God. I love it. But it's also my job in ministry to make sure that my life is right and that my family is right. Because if I'm not right and my family is not right, there's no need of me ministering. There's no need of me. I have to stay in prayer for my family. I have to stay in adoration for my family. Amen. I have to stay in the place that I have to be in for my family. I have to stay. I can't lose my place, otherwise my family loses their place. If I lose my place, and don't you know you can affect the kingdom when you lose your place? There might be something for God wants you to do where some soul might be saved, and you get out of place and then you lose your place in Him, and then some soul that was supposed to be saved because of the work that God has for you, that soul can't get saved. So then you just affected the kingdom of God. Stumbling block. Jesus. But all we're here to say today is, and the reason why I say this, and this is in Matthew chapter 20, verse 16. It said, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Amen. What I got from that was those that have been in the church, those that have gotten laxed, God's got a church and he will either, you will either get back in your place with him, or God will slowly move you out the way and put somebody else there to do the work that God has called for them to do. And if, and let me tell you something, you might say, well, our works are as filthy rags to God, so I'll still make it to heaven. Look, if the Lord comes back with your works undone, don't you know you can miss the mark because of that? You can still miss the mark. You can still miss heaven when the rapture takes place. Amen. You and I must be in line.
What?
You and I must be in line with him. You and I must be in line with the Lord. You and I must be in tune with him. You and I must be in tune with what God has for us. When I came in, Bishop Cook was saying that people get lax. And sometimes you might get tired. Look, in working for God, you get physically tired, you get emotionally tired, you get mentally tired. I understand that. Amen. I understand that. And that is a time for you to seek counsel. When you get physically tired, learn how to rest. You might say, well, you never talked about resting. Where does it say it in the Bible for us to rest? Jesus rested. Jesus rested. When he told the storm, when he said, peace be still to the storm, he was at the bottom of a boat, asleep. And they came, and his disciples came to him and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? So it's a time and a place for all things. It's a time and a place for a person to rest. But in your resting period, still make time for the Lord. Amen. But don't get laxed in your rest. Don't get lax when you do the work of the Lord. Amen. I want you all to be blessed on today. I hope that you got something out of this. I want to thank Bishop Cook for standing in my place as I was coming in.
Amen.
We had to take care of some things before we came on the air today. But just continue to pray for me and my family. I'm requesting prayers for my immediate family and my wife and my children and my grandmother. I'm going, please. Pray for me as I, next week, I'm going to be traveling over the airwaves on next week to go to California to go visit my grandmother. Pray for her. It is a needy situation that I go, so just pray for me as I travel over the airwaves, everybody, that the Lord will get me there safely and bring me back safely in Jesus' name. I love you all, and I thank God for each and every one of you that listen to the summit every week. And I thank God again for Bishop Cook for allowing us to come and just be a part of this ministry, to being a part of the Spirit Alive Network in Jesus' name. And like I said, I ain't about to get loud with y'all no more. I'm done for today. But like I said, y'all, everybody, myself included, don't lose your place. And like the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? I've said this on the show before. Your soul is the most important thing that you will ever have. Other than the Holy Ghost, your soul is the most important thing that you were given. And it's good for us to hold our souls dear, to take care of our souls. Because your soul and my soul, every person's soul will spend eternity somewhere. And you only got two places to go. I only got two places to go, either heaven or hell. And then, and I want him to say, when I see him, when I stand before him, and I know Bishop Cook will agree with me, I want him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord.
Yes.
I don't want him to say, I don't want him to say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew. Do you know how hard that would be? This ain't no other lesson. We're not talking about something else, but do you know how hard that would be if somebody, it's hard for my, I used my father in a sermon one time, and I'm going to say this and then we're going to wrap up. I used my father in a sermon one time, and I was talking about this, that my father has been my father for 32 years. And it would hurt me to death if my father said he didn't know who I was. It would hurt me. Here's a man been taking care of me for since I was born, been knowing him, and then he's gonna say he don't know me. He never knew me, and say depart from me. I don't know you. That's a sad feeling, and it's the same thing as the spirit in the spiritual. Your spiritual father wants to take you home. He said he would go to prepare a place for us, so that where he is, we might be also. But we cannot lose our place, because our place for eternity, he's got a place for us. He's got a mansion waiting on you. He's got a crown waiting on you. In Jesus' name. As it stated in Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way, biblically, Bible-based, to receive the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. This is the only way to see the Lord's face in peace one day. God bless you. And as I said, continue to pray for me as I travel. And yes, we will be on the air. We will be here next week, even though I'm gonna be in Bishop Cook's part of town. Amen.
All right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Before we let you go, Minister Tuggle, there's another order of business. I'm looking at a lot of people in this room. So what I'm going to do is ask that you bow with me right now in the name of Jesus. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I come now before your throne of grace, just praying for your young servant, Minister Adam, and his family as they travel through the airways, Lord God, to California. Father God, I pray that you go before them in everything that they must do. Let your favor fall fresh upon them, O God. Make everything flow according to your will and your purpose. Father, provide every need. Lord, meet every need. Hallelujah. Bless his grandmother. Bless his wife and his children, oh God. Use him mightily to minister to your people in California. Father God, I want to thank you for this young man and the living example of your love that he exhibits for the whole world to see. Father, we just pray right now that as they go and they return, that upon their return, they will find everything is as it was when they left it. Let there be no hiccups. Let there be no delays. Let there be nothing in the way of hindrance to their trip. And may they continue to grow in love and in grace together as they glorify you. I pray this and all other things in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus. Amen. And to God be the glory.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay, you can have your show back.
Amen. God bless you all. I love each and every one of you. I love you guys, and I love doing this every week. And make sure that you tune in to the Summit Internet Radio podcast show. We have a show coming up, and we also have a show on there right now. We have a new one on there. Go check out. I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to leave you in suspense, y'all. Go check it out, though. And make sure that you tune in. If you're not tuning into the podcast, make sure you tune into the Twitter Live Network, y'all. Amen. And get some good ground teaching over here. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. I love each and every one of you in Jesus' name. God bless you. And until next week, I love you all in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Amen.